Pickaxe.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hello everyone!
Hello!
And welcome to Kirsty and Briny's Comfort Zone.
I am Kirsty.
And I am Brian.
And I am going to sneeze.
Oh!
There we go. Hi.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And bless everyone. For being here to listen to our podcast.
Hi. Welcome.
So, exciting times. Today is the day which you get to find out the context of the thing I was talking about 2 weeks ago before
God,
I trailed off because I realised it wasn't relevant at the time.
True.
But in case people haven't heard, basically, in the middle of the night, apparently, I was like big spooning Alex and I started shaking his shoulder in a way that he woke up and it suggested I had heard an intruder in the house and was trying to quietly wake him up to be like, you go, I'll save myself. But he woke up and was just like, what was happening? What's happening? And then he was asking me like, did you hear something? And apparently I just went, he was like, what? And I just kept on giggling and then he realized I was asleep. But today we can listen to the dream that I had on that night and see if there's anything that would have been relevant to that.
Okay.
I'm worried that there won't be because I have a feeling that if that happened in the middle of the night, I imagine you remember the dreams that you had just before you woke up. So you probably don't remember. It's probably like nothing to do with that early dream part. So there might be nothing there.
Yeah, it's got to be just other stuff.
When he told me, because he didn't tell me until that night, because he forgot until we were back in bed again. And I just remember saying, oh, I recorded my dream last night. I wonder if 'twas relevant. But probably not. But yes.
We will find out.
We've only recorded for like 3 minutes. Are we ready to jump into a dream? Usually we chat.
Oh my God. Okay, hang on. Think of something else to talk about for 40 minutes.
I saw a comment on a recent one that was like, it was 30 minutes before they even talked about a dream.
Yeah, I saw another comment that was like, it seems that they're just talking about not anything else lately, and I still like the podcast.
Yeah, it's just not what it set out to do anymore.
let's
dive straight into a dream.
Okay.
No foreplay.
Ooh.
Let's just get in there.
Damn.
Please don't take that out of context. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, go.
I had a dream that felt so real and involved. It just felt weird waking up from it. It was basically like I was going to this lady's, I want to say a house, but it was more like a ranch. And she was teaching stuff. And I was there with Alistair, but he was trying to leave. And I was like, no, just stay. And I think I took the car keys off of him and was like, you know, just give it a chance. And then he turned into like the woman's son and she was saying stuff and then all of a sudden she like singled me out and I remember we were sat on like a grassy mound inside the room and I was thinking like, how did they get like grass in here? And yeah, she singled me out and I was asking her something. No, she was asking me something, but I was like, sorry, I didn't hear that. What did you say? And she just wouldn't repeat it. So I like handed over the car keys and she was like, well, that was easy. And I was like, sorry, what did you say? Like, I couldn't hear you. Like, my hearing's not very good. I couldn't hear you. And she was just like walking away. So it got to the point where I like walked after her between these rows of people. And we ended up having this really like intense conversation where at one point she like slapped me. And then she was like, what am I doing right? Or, you know, if I'm so bad, what am I doing right? And I was like, the thing you're doing right is, despite everything, you're keeping it together for your son and daughter. And she was like lying on the floor. And it was really like involved and emotional, but I don't really know what it was about. And then the whole scene cleared away and I had stayed there for the night. And I think this was meant to be in a different time, like a week later or something. And it was just me and the son. And he was taking his little dog out for a walk. But the way he did that was like just picking them up with one hand and then putting them back down again. Just like a claw from above. And then he was like, I like said something nice to him. And he looked me in the eye and was like, are you tripping? And he was like, oh, you're not. You have to go. And I was like, what? Why? And then there were a couple of other people there. And then I realized now it was my parents' back garden that this was all happening in, just sort of merged into some sort of like big American ranch somehow. But there was someone about to come through the fence. I think someone's car was pulling up or something. I don't know who. But then I woke up and I was just so like, you know, when you come out of a real deep sleep, I was just like, what? It was very strange. The end. Bye-bye.
The end.
I do remember having this dream, but none of it really came back to me. I just remember being sat on that grassy mound and just being confused.
It was just very like, intense.
Yeah.
I feel like that wasn't the one that made you giggle.
No. No, it felt a bit too spooky.
Too spooky.
The giggles. It's just like, it was like this weird sensation of not really understanding what was happening. Like, I remember when the lady was trying to talk to me, it's like she was sort of talking like Charlie Brown type way. It was just like, and I was just like, I'm sorry, I can't. And I think I was too embarrassed to be like, I don't quite understand what you said. So that's why I was like, my hearing's bad. Because I was like, that won't make her feel bad. Even though she was clearly not being very nice. Even in dreams, I'm like, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings.
I don't want
feelings.
To upset them.
But yeah, it was just very, very odd. Like, it just felt, you know, when you have those movies where nothing particularly bad happens, but it constantly feels tense.
Yeah.
It was like a bit like that. Like, have you ever seen The Assassination of Jesse James?
No.
Obviously, something bad does happen in that. No spoilers. You'll never guess what happens in the film. But oh my gosh, if you ever watch that, the feeling is, it's just so tense throughout. Even like when nothing in the scene is particularly being said or happening, it's still just like,
oh.
It's just very,
okay.
It's very well done.
Fair, 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 fair.
But it was, yeah, it was that similar feeling. And I guess it was sort of cowboyish as well. I think there's something about cowboys that makes me uncomfortable.
I thought you liked cowboy.
I like cowboy.
I like doing cowboy.
The silly accent. But there's something about like old Western movies or things that are set in that particular time and part of America. I think it's just that feeling of like, I don't know, like they're all a bit on edge.
Volatile.
And mad.
That is
the word, volatile. It's like one time they'd be talking to each other and they'd be like, hey, yeah, that's the funniest joke I ever heard. And then someone would be like, funny like your face. And they'd be like, what did you just say to me? I don't like watching things set in prisons and I don't like watching things set in the Wild West. Because they both make me very tense.
Yeah, it's very similar, right? I get that, yeah.
I wonder if it's because, actually, Alex recently went to see that... what's that new film? Something Flowers.
I have no idea.
Leonardo DiCaprio in, and it's basically about... It's not really Wild West, but this is me sort of lumping all American history into one big thing. But it's about
Killer of the Flower Moon.
That's the one.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. It was like, basically, my understanding, this is a very brief description. It does count as a Western. Oh, okay, yeah. I don't feel so bad then, just being like, it's an American, so it's either a gangster movie or a Western movie.
Well, it's set in the 20s, apparently, so maybe both.
It's so strange how...
recent the Wild West is.
Yeah, it always shocks me when I think about, like... when I think about the 20s, I very much think of, like, you know, Downton Abbey-style things. And then when I think what was happening in America at that time, I'm just like, the two just don't correlate in my head. It's just, it's very odd. But it was basically like, there were like the, original American people. And then who obviously had the rights to the land that they were living on, but because, the new Americans came over and were like, no, we're going to give you this land. You have the rights to this land, because they were thinking like, ha 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 ha, we're screwing over these, you know, Native American sort of population by giving them shit land. And we'd be like, yeah, sure, you can have the rights to this. Then it turned out that land was very oil rich. And all of a sudden, these people who they thought that they were like getting one over, they were suddenly really wealthy, and they had, you know, the official rights as given to them to this land and all this oil and stuff. So there's this guy who basically just started like systematically killing off these families, but in a way that they started having accidents. Like one day someone fell down a well, and the next day someone tripped and was on a train track, and just stuff like that. I can't remember the actual examples, but... And it's one of those things that when Alex went to see it, I'm very naughty. I IMDb films and I look at the parental guide to see if I think I can handle it. So a lot of the time I know what a film is about and everything that happens in it without having seen it.
I do that, yeah. Because I've got the whole plot on Wikipedia.
I'm baby. I'm very much baby, and I need to know what's going to happen in a film before I see it.
You're getting me in the mood for Western movies.
But I think maybe it was just that, because he'd gone to see that. Maybe that's why this dream happened.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Not only that, but I've also been talking your ear off about Pathfinder and how that's all cowdoy as well. So.
Oh, yeah, cowdoy.
Cowdoy. Which is kind of why you're getting me in the mood for Western movies, because I have to wait till Sunday to play again, so... I could just fill the void with cowdoy.
I used to... So my uncle used to live in the same town as me. He's moved to Ireland now. But I used to go around and see him when I was little. And he used to have a life-size cutout of Was it, oh, what's the, like, famous, not Clint Eastwood, but the other famous cowboy man?
What actor?
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
I get wanting to say Jeff Wayne, and I'm like, no, that's the War of the Worlds guy. but he had this, like, life-size John Wayne cutout, and I used to find it very intimidating as a child.
I can imagine, yeah. Why did he have that?
He just apparently really loves John Wayne movies.
Oh,
I think they're a very, they are like a very dad and uncle movie style to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that when men were men.
Cowboy man time. My granddad really liked movies, but he really liked Zorro and James Bond. Those were his movies. He would like Photoshop pictures of him with Zorro's hat and mask. And then print them out and put them on his wall.
Oh my gosh, amazing. My dad likes James Bond. I guess, again, they're just like that generation of like manly movie, aren't they?
Yeah. My granddad really loved James Bond to the point where when he died, bless him, at his funeral, when they like played the music, like leading everyone in, it was Goldfinger they played.
Oh,
and it was like for such a somber occasion, as soon as that kicked in, it was just like, yeah. That's granddad, yep.
I thought you were going to say it was like the da 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 da.
Honestly, it wouldn't have fucking surprised me.
Aww.
Bless him.
But I've never seen any of the, like, you know, Good, the Bad and the Ugly and whatever the other ones are. Like a iconic cowboy film. I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, we were gonna like watch a bunch of them before we started our campaign, just to like get in the mood. We watched Tombstone in the end. Have you ever seen Tombstone? That one's from the 90s. That's very good. It's got who's it got in it? It's got Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell as Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. And it's very, very good. Very good movie. I really enjoyed that one. I think it's quite a popular one.
The only sort of cowboy film I've seen, it's probably Blazing Saddles, but I don't know if that counts. And I also, for anyone who chooses to watch it, it has not aged well. So just bear that in mind. It's very of its time.
Fair.
Not excusing it, but yeah, just be prepared if you do.
Tombstone's quite a good one because it's from 93. So, like, when you think of Western movies, I always think of, like, really old, really dated, like, you know, maybe even black and white, just kind of... No, I don't want to say garbage because I'm sure there are people that enjoy them somewhere, but yeah. But whereas Tombstone was, like, a little bit more up-to-date, but it was still a Western, you know? It was good. It was a good movie. I recommend it. But if you don't like the volatility of the Wild West, then maybe don't. Because there's a lot of shooting.
I do like Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, to give it its full title. The thing that amused me the most is that I had the film... Okay, I know I've joked that obviously you know what happens in the film and just generally in history, but I had the film spoiled for me by a cartoon of Yogi Bear.
Oh.
Because someone had reenacted the scene in which Jesse James is assassinated, but they had done it with Boo Boo killing Yogi.
Oh my God.
And I didn't, at the time I saw the video and I was just like, this is really weird. What is this? And then it got to the point in the film where Jesse James says the same line that Yogi Bear did, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know what's about to happen.
Oh no.
I was like, of all the things it's just like being spoiled by.
It's like the Shawshank Redemption, which is probably one of my favourite movies of all time. I didn't see it until I was about, I want to say 15, because I watched it with a friend. And
yeah,
we sat down to watch it and his older brother came in and he was like, oh yeah, yeah, this one was spoiled by Family Guy. You know, Family Guy did it. And I was like, oh, so he escapes in the end. I see. So I was like, well, I didn't realize that at the time when I watched Family Guy, but yep, now I know exactly what happened.
Oh my gosh. So these references that, because you don't make the connection, you're just like, huh, that's weird. And yep. Then suddenly you're like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I swear there's another film that I've not seen, but it has the same intensity. I've watched, like, Alex got me to watch a scene from it. And I watched another scene when I was at university, but I can't think what it's called.
What is it? Oh. Cowboy Movie or?
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay. I've not seen that one.
I think that is too modern to count as a cowboy movie, but it has that same sort of like barren landscape and a guy just slowly walking around, stumpy boots.
Stumpy boots.
Stumpy boots, cowboy man. I think another thing that annoys me about cowboy movies, the old cowboy movies, is there's something about women's screams in early cinema that is really piercing. Yeah. And it must just be like the way that they were told to scream back in those days. But there's something really, like, the best example I can think of is in, is it called This Island View? Maybe there's this really old film that's basically the film that in Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, is the film that they watch. Okay. And there's one scene that has this woman running away from an alien and continually screaming. And I get so quickly to the point of just like, just shut up. Just kill her already.
This Island Earth.
This Island Earth. That's the one.
There it is.
Like her screaming in that. There's just something about old movie screams.
Yeah, when I like turn to the camera and go,
and I'm just like, no, stop it.
This looks amazing and terrible. I want to watch it.
This Island Earth?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I sort of love it, but just because I know I could quote pretty much word for word the Mystery Science Theater commentary of it. I quote it so much, but only one other friend has really seen it, so no one ever really picks up on it. It's even silly things, like there's one of the characters is called Dr. Meacham. And there's just one of the, like, he introduces himself and one of the Mystery Science Theater guys just goes, nice to meet you. Every time I'm just like, hey. Oh, it's so good. We should watch it.
I'm gonna have to watch this. We should watch it together.
Yes.
I love this, like, old, really cheesy sort of just genre. It's like we sat and watched a lot of the original Twilight Zone with Niall C. And some of those episodes are just so bad.
Like, yeah.
They're so cheesy and stupid. And it's just great. Like, when you find one that's a real stinker, it's just like, oh my God. But some of them are very, very good. I that's another thing. I just want to sit and watch all of the old Twilight Zones and just, yeah. Because you always see the twist coming. Like, there was one, there was one where a couple went to Vegas and the guy was really miserable and the woman was like, oh, come on, like, come join in. Let's do some gambling. And he's like, no, this is silly. This is very stupid. And then he put a coin in a machine and it's like, oh, no, now I'm hooked. And he was there all night gambling and his wife is like, oh, no, he won't leave the machine. And everyone's like gathered around him like he's been there for 2 days. And then when they finally manage to get him away from the machine, it starts haunting him. Like it's like a stupid little really old coin machine, like a one-armed bandit that follows him around. And they're in the hotel room and it knocks on the door and wheels itself in.
Oh, my God.
And then he has a fight with it and they both fall out the window and he dies. And it's really stupid. But then it gets up and it wheels away to go and find a new victim.
Oh, my gosh. I think that was always, like, the scariest part of, like, Goosebumps books. where the endings would never be like, and the monster was defeated and good prevailed. It was always like, and they opened the door to the next thing. And you're like, oh, they're still out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like Goosebumps is just like, well, it's not modern anymore. But at the time, it was like, you know, X-Files for, not X-Files, Twilight Zone for kids, you know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I never really read much Goosebumps. I read one Goosebumps book. And I would, I don't know why, but I would just take the same book from the library at school every time. And I remember one time, like, I went in there and I was like, oh, do you have this book? And they went and found it for me. And I said to the librarian, I've read this book 5 times. And they were like, why?
Why would you do such a thing?
Why are you reading it so much? I was like, I don't know.
We have other books.
I like this one. But it was called Chicken Chicken. And it was about a pair of kids that lived next door to a weird woman. And they were like, oh, she's a witch. She's weird. And they went round there for something. I think they like kicked their ball over the fence or something. And she hands it back and they just take it and they don't say thank you. And the woman's like,
they must die.
Now you die. So she casts a spell on them that turns them into chickens. And it goes into like visceral detail about how they like start growing feathers out of their skin and like beaks out of their mouths and stuff. And they become chickens. And then eventually they go back to the house to try and like find a cure as chickens. And then something happens and they say sorry or thank you for some other completely different reason. She's like, oh, you've learned manners. Okay, I'll unchicken you. And then she does that. And then they don't say thank you. And then she's the book ends with her just being like,
why are you on her? I never really read Goosebumps books, but I did read a very similar series that was called Creatures.
Yeah.
And the one I really remember reading was, it was called Once I Caught a Fish Alive by Louise Cooper. And the only reason I know that is because there's a subreddit called What's That Book, where people are amazing. And I went to that subreddit a few years ago and I was like, I remember a book that was about a fish that killed people. And this was the cover vaguely. And people just find it off of like the weirdest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember all of the Creatures books had, it was basically like the covers would have a hole cut out. So it would, I think this one was like a fish bowl with the fish in it. And then when you lifted it up, it was like the fish holding a knife or something. I can't remember. But it was, the story was basically this family, in a sort of like Gremlins way, this family gets a fish, like a pet fish for Christmas or something, but from a weird place that isn't there when they try to return the fish. And the fish starts like leaving its bowl at night and killing people. And I can't remember why, but for some reason they don't want to kill the fish themselves. So they like take the fish to a sushi restaurant, I think. And then the fish starts killing people there. They don't want to kill the fish either. So the solution to this is that they freeze the fish in an ice block and they throw it out to sea. And then the end of the book is that the ice block is thawing.
No!
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, it's, my God. Why would you take a fish to a sushi restaurant? Were they trying to intimidate him?
I think they were hoping that, I think they, like, just plop him into the fish tank there.
Oh.
I think they're just like, they will deal with this, so we don't have to. But, yeah, I don't remember those are, like, the story points that I remember of the book. And it was very, that's the one that I used to get out from the library a lot. I don't remember the others in the series, but I think I did read them. I think I just liked the covers. I know you're not meant to judge books that way, but I did, to great effect.
I think everyone does, to be honest. Anyone who says they don't is a liar.
It's a liar.
They're lying.
I realise I never looked anything up in my book, but I don't think it has cowboy in there, so I don't think it'll happen. There wasn't really a cowboy.
It was just a cowboy movie.
Yeah, it was like, you know when you do get, because obviously cowboy films are very, they do tend to be quite male focused, and women are, you know, either wives or whores. Pretty much, those seem to be the two rows of a whammon. Maybe one works behind the bar or something. Mm-hmm. But this was like that sort of... I guess she was the sort of female character that you get in films where it's like the matriarch of a mob family.
Right.
Like, have you seen the second series of Fargo?
No.
It's sort of like there's a mum of like a mob family and that, and she was very much like this. The sort of like stereotypical character of like the dad died and the mum has to keep the family together, and she's like just as bad.
Yeah.
just as
ruthless.
Mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like she was like that sort of vibe.
Okay.
But maybe that played by Emily Blunt. That's the vibe we're going for.
Yeah.
Although she's been in a few cowboy films, hasn't she? Didn't she do one recently where she was trying to find her son or something?
I'm Googling so many films that I'm just adding to a list right now.
It's Emily fine. This Blunt. Is a film Cow- podcast, right?
Welcome to Yomp.
Right?
The English.
Yeah. And it had Bendy Bum Cumbersnatch in it. Was it that one that she did?
I don't know. I mean, she is in it, yeah.
And it's like her and another guy, and they're trying to do something that is the plot of the film, and they either
they're
do or don't do it, and then the film
do
ends.
Something.
I know it well.
I'll find out. The English film.
I think Alex saw that
one
as well.
It's a TV series.
How is it?
Is this a... Yeah, with Emily Blunt.
I remember.
Got
back in my day.
In I can't see Benedict Cumberbatch, though.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing it up with another one. No, he was in a different cowboy film. There seems to have been quite a few recently that are set in that sort
it's
of...
coming back.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch cowboy film.
Benedict
the power
cowboy.
Of dog.
That's the one.
Dog.
A dog.
Dog. Can I pet that dog?
I remember a time when it was like looked down on. Like you got your film actors and you had your TV actors, and the TV actors were looked down on as just TV actors. Whereas nowadays, I guess with things like Netflix and Sky series and Amazon and stuff, it seems to be quite to do to have a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's merged, blurred the lines a little bit.
All merged.
Although I guess they all probably look down on your, you know, your doctors and Casualty and EastEnders.
Yeah,
actors.
That's the thing. You've got like TV series that are on like Netflix and stuff, and then you've got TV series that are on BBC One.
Yes. And Channel 4, ITV.
Channel 4. BBC
Channel
3.
Channel 5 still exists?
I don't know. Maybe.
I remember when Channel 5 was launched. This
oh
is
God.
How old I am. I remember it being a real thing. It was like a... like a national event where we all tuned into
a new channel.
Channel 5. Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what that button's for on the remote. It goes up that high.
Wow.
In fact, I don't think we even had... do we even have remotes in those days? I remember having a knob on
oh
the TV that
God.
You had to turn.
You're showing your age, Brady.
This is back in the days when you turn the TV on and then you just have to hit it until the picture wasn't blurry.
It's like I talked to my dad a while back about something, and he was like, oh, I remember when I got my first VHS player and the remote was on a cable and he couldn't take it too far away.
Remote, but not that remote. I remember one of my friends taped his Apple TV remote to a model of Morph because it kept slipping down between the cushions. He was like, it's too bloody small. So you just had to cradle Morph every time you wanted to
Aww.
Change the channel.
Help me, Morph.
I remember when people used to have nice ornaments on top of their telly. Can't do that anymore. Too bloody thin.
Or a nice doily.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put a doily on it, but it would probably cover up a bit of the picture.
And you used to have to wiggle the aerials to try and adjust it.
Yeah. No, I remember going to my nan's house and playing the SNES, and she had a telly in her spare room, and it was a proper old one. And it had like the little dials on it and tiny, tiny little buttons that stuck out, like that were like aggressively square.
Yeah. And
it was a proper old school TV. And you did have to sort of hit it a few times.
I heard a story recently because we watched The Crown not too long ago. And because all of that was sort of like a lot of living memory stuff, I would say to my parents, like, oh, do you remember watching this? Do you remember when this happened? Sort of thing. And it was the Queen's coronation, which I think was like, it was televised, but I think that was like, I was going to say it's the first one to be televised. Of course it was, because televisions weren't around the ones before. But yeah, she had it televised. And apparently my dad, because he was quite little at the time, was watching it. And he saw the horses and carriages go off the screen. And apparently he ran around the back of the TV to see where they went. That's how young he was. Just like, what? Where are they?
Where'd they go?
But it's so weird thinking
if I put videos of birds eating seeds on, they fly off and he's like, oh, and he like looks around like the other side of the TV, like, where'd the bird go? Where'd that bird?
Oh,
no, he's not dead, Tabs. He left.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Can only see it in the scrying square. They have left.
Baby.
Oh my goodness. I wonder, I'm trying to figure out why I would have had a dream like this. And the only thing I can think is that I have been very, what is the word? I've been very over analytical of social interactions recently.
Okay. Like,
I had a day where it was my friend's birthday recently and we went out for dinner. And I got home and I lay in bed and I went over everything that I could have possibly said that could have been misinterpreted.
No.
And reasons why my friends now hate me. And I wonder if it's just because I've been feeling that way recently that I just had this very awkward, tense, couldn't quite tell if the woman was on my side or against me. I think it must just be that.
Yeah.
I don't know what's causing it.
That sounds about right. Like, you are too, what's the word?
Dumb.
No.
Oh, bitch.
Too much of a bitch. You are too critical of yourself. You are wonderful and I love you.
Thank you, I love you.
No.
I do it so much at the moment. I don't know what's caused. I wonder if it's because Jingle Jam is coming up and that's like big social times. Because I'm not like unsocial, but I think that's the most social I ever am is at Jingle Jam. Because obviously you don't want to miss, like different people are in the office on different days. So you don't want to miss stuff. But yeah, I imagine I'll be doing a lot of like, how did I make people dislike me today?
Jingle Jam is a really stressful time. Like everybody who I've been talking to lately has been like, especially the people that are traveling in from external, they're just like, oh, it's 2 weeks till I have to travel. I'm so nervous, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's so stressed, like thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that, you know, people could be dreaming, having some stress dreams about the old Jingle Jam.
Quick, let's use it to our advantage. Let's get them all. It's like I saw, I think maybe I mentioned this to you before, but there was a Tom Scott video that was like every mistake I've made between 2014 and 2023. And someone had captioned it, me trying to sleep. I was like, yeah, no, to be fair, yeah. I do just have that, like, it's like my brain holds a little, like, breakdown not has a breakdown, but it just does like a breakdown of the evening. And it's like, remember when you said that? And you thought that they interpreted it this way, but what if really? And I'm just like, oh no.
Oh why? No. Oh no.
Dear, yeah. Oh dear.
Well, we just have to be ourselves. And if people don't like it, they can shove it.
True. True.
True.
Would you like to hear my second dream and see if it's any more positive?
Maybe we can find out why you were giggling.
Maybe, but this was a few days after the giggling.
Oh God, so we never know.
We never know. I think maybe it was just
maybe you were giggling because you were like, oh, I've got bad hearing. I can't hear you.
What did you say?
Sorry.
Maybe it was when the guy was picking the dog up with his claw hand.
Oh yeah, true.
Because it was literally like he just came down from above and just picked up the dog like from the top and was just like, here you go, walking the dog.
Walking the dog.
Maybe it was like I was trying to shake Alex like, hey, look at this guy, look at this little dog.
Well, look at what he's doing. What a silly guy.
Okay, I will play my second dream.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you around the table.
I had a dream that we were driving around this sort of like hilly roads. And somebody went through this like fence barrier. It wasn't like a proper barrier, though. There was a fence. When you drove through, there was just sort of like this electric rippling sort of thing. And we kept driving and we were going deeper and deeper and deeper around this mountain, down this road. And eventually we got to this place where, oh no, wait, there was this like tower. And we were like, what is going on? And we realized that we just couldn't go back the way we came, and we were trying to like get signal, and essentially we realized we were trapped there, and we were trying to like fix something on this tower so that we could message someone or make a call, and then I heard like the people I was with talking at the bottom of the tower with someone who worked there, and I was desperately like trying to pull out things from this tower and then climb down. It was Charlie Day, actually, who was the guy who worked there. And he was like, oh, what were you doing up there? And I was like, oh, you know, just trying to fix it. And he looked up and he was like, oh, so you've just pulled everything out. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I think there's been a problem. I didn't want there to be any like electric charges, so I unplugged everything. But then he took us back to this like base, and I don't remember really how it happened, but essentially it was like you were just kept placid and you couldn't really remember anything, and they just kept you calm so you wouldn't try and escape. And eventually I managed to like break through, and I remember I was like using my phone to try and reach people, but they'd blocked any website that you could message on and stuff. And then I found out that if you emailed but also sent a photo attachment, the email would actually go through for some reason. So I was like emailing people. I think I emailed my cousin and Rob like random photos. It was just like, please come help me. I don't know where I am, but I was on my way here and the road is here. Like, bring help. They're keeping loads of people here, sort of thing. And eventually there were some people who turned up, and I was like with it enough to be like, don't do this. They're gonna keep you here. It's horrible. Don't let them do it. And they were like, stop her, sort of thing. But I don't remember much more of the dream. I don't know if I ever got out, but it was weird. Very culty and spoopy. Bye-bye.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was like... there was something that I swear must have triggered this, but I've sort of forgotten what it was. Because they wanted me to forget.
Oh my God.
I swear someone was telling me about a film recently that was sort of like Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, but it was, because that has the thing where you like dial in your emotion sort of thing. But it was, what was it? I can't think what it was, but it's something similar to that. And it was that like weird feeling of like breaking out of it. But yeah, I don't know which cousin I would have been trying to message about it, because I don't think any of my cousins would. They'd see me sending a random photo and just be like, what? That's nice. And probably wouldn't read the message. Just a picture of a hamster, just like, help, I'm stuck with a coat. And they're like, oh, nice.
Could you send text as well as the picture, or just
I think so. I think that was my like hack, was that if you sent a photo, you could type like in on a Reddit post where you have like text along with it, just like a scrolling text. I think that was the only way I could send messages to people. But yeah, it was just really weird.
If you were stuck in a situation like that and you could only send memes to people to ask for help, what would you do? Like, to try and signal that something is wrong. What meme would be so out of character? I feel like I would just struggle, because I'd just post any old shit.
Yeah.
So people would just be like, oh, she's at it again.
I guess I would have to send one that was like, I don't know, like a Bitcoin meme or something. I don't know, a crypto bro meme. For people to be like, no, that, what, why? Something's wrong here.
This is a call for help.
Yeah. what was the name of that film? Someone was telling me about it, and it was basically like people had to buy emotions or something like that. People were just built emotionless, and you would have to like pay to experience emotion. Or maybe it was a book someone was describing. It was some like sci-fi thing. It was weird. Fairly weird.
I've just been trying to Google a movie like that.
Yeah.
But I can't really find anything. The closest I found was Equilibrium, which doesn't look like the right movie. It's like a dystopian movie where emotions are banned and people have to take medicine that squashes their emotions.
Oh, maybe that was it, actually.
And then this guy forgets his dose, relatable, and then he starts to feel feelings, and then he becomes a martial artist and then joins a rebel cell.
It might have been that one, actually. Who's in that?
Christian Bale.
I think it was that one. Yeah? I don't remember why we got onto it, but I think it was that. I saw a book the other day. I was, can you believe it? I saw a book.
Oh my God.
In a bookshop, no less. And it was like a staff pick one. So I was like, oh, what's this about? I can't remember the name of it, but it was basically a world where people had lost the ability to sleep, but it's about the one person who can still sleep. So everyone else on the planet is going slowly like sleep crazed. And this one person is just every now and then like, I have a nap. I was like, I'm sort of curious about this.
It didn't click that everyone else would be struggling when you said that. I was like, that just sounds incredibly boring. It's like, well, good night, everyone. I'm off.
See you later.
Good luck. See ya.
Just going to go for a lie down. Why? Why would you do that?
Why?
For a nap? A what?
Who?
I thought I would look up mountain. Because there were...
We've looked up mountain before, haven't we? I'm sure we have.
I think we must have. It says, in dream sequences, the mountain usually appears in order to symbolize an obstacle which needs to be overcome.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, so I guess the obstacle is not joining a cult.
Yeah.
Not being
I know that's difficult for you.
Brainwashed. Well, I just, you know, depends what the robes are like. If they're cozy, sign me up.
Oh, dear.
Is a cult inherently a bad thing? Or is it possible to have like a nice cult? Or does cult imply bad?
I think cult implies bad.
What would a nice...
Generally.
What's like the nice version? Just a group?
A group.
A bunch of mates.
A club.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. I think cult suggests... that it's a negative thing.
Imagine if they released a vegan version of Club Biscuits and it was just called Cult.
Cult Biscuits?
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our cult.
Okay.
I do like chocolate on my biscuit.
Oh,
I'm so
tempting me. Oh, now all I can think of is the Hippo and the Frog song from Super Crazy Rhythm Girl. It's so good. This game, anybody that hasn't seen a bunch of Yogs playing Super Crazy Rhythm Castle on Twitch this week or last week or whenever this episode goes out, the week before. Oh my God, what a good game. We've been playing it like on Discord at night.
Yeah.
And last night, me and Rithian were doing some, and I managed to unlock Bloody Tears from Castlevania, and I was like, oh my god, Rithian, Bloody Tears, Bloody Tears. And he just left my game, and he was like, fine, I'm coming back.
Aww.
And we did it, and I did it on pro, and it was just so hard, and I was just like, I've finally met my match in this game. It's so difficult.
You're so good at that game.
I love rhythm games so much. Like, they are my favorite game in the whole world. I was thinking this morning, I was like, thinking of the meme with the guy that's like, ugh, and then like, ooh. And the top one is MOBAs. The bottom one is rhythm games. Like, sign me up. Sign me up for rhythm games, baby. I love them. I love them so much.
What if there was a rhythm MOBA?
Oh. Oh, it depends. It depends. Because, like, I like some MOBAs. You know, I always joke, like, let's play Smite. Because no one will play Smite with me. But even on Smite, I wouldn't do, like, the proper three-lane mode, which is called Conquest on Smite. Like, I load up Smite.
What?
Conquest.
Okay.
Yeah. I launch Smite, and I have two modes that I play. I do arena mode, which is just a free-for-all where you pick whatever hero you want and you just fight.
Yeah.
And I play the single-lane mode, which where it gives you just a random hero, and that's it.
Tom and Tash really like Smite.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've played with Tom and Tash before.
Yeah.
Briefly. But yeah, I like Smite. But Dota, oh my God, Dota's just too complicated. Like, there's just too much to think about. And it's just, people get so mad when they play. And that's the thing with MOBAs. People get so angry when they're playing. Like, people get so into it and they get so mad. And like, the problem with me, if I'm playing a game and someone's like, no, you're doing that wrong, then I just get upset. I'm just like, oh no, I'm terrible. I'm so bad at everything. I shouldn't be on this video game. I should stop playing video games forever because I'm bad. Whereas on a rhythm game, number one, I'm usually pretty good. And number two, if I mess up or if anyone messes up, they just go, oh no, I missed a note. And that's it. That's it. So it's perfect.
I just but have the thing where...
MOBAs is no, it's too scary.
I'll get into the rhythm and then something, it's like I'll start thinking about it and then I get out of it again and then I can't get back in.
Yeah.
I do enjoy them though, but I do just get that. As soon as I start doing well, I just go like, huh? I become too aware.
Yeah, my worst thing with rhythm games like that is when the song gets too repetitive, like it's the same pattern over and over and over again, that's when I mess up. If it's just raining notes down on you and it's like do 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 do, I can do that easy. That's fine because my brain is engaged. But if it's the same four notes like over and over and over and over and over and over again, then I'm like, nope, my brain cannot stick to this pattern. It has to just deviate and press a completely different button.
Aww,
I love rhythm games.
You should do some DDR when you're next down.
Oh my god. I've never played DDR.
Really? Oh, yeah. I love it so much.
I love rhythm games, but I've never... I had a dance mat when I was a kid, but I never used it.
It's like a rhythm game for your feet.
Yeah. I would love to. I've been tempted to set up Guitar Hero again as well and just sit and play. The problem is, like we were saying yesterday on Discord, we were like, can we just find a way to set up Rock Band and everyone play together? And
it's like,
oh, if only. I wish.
I used to love playing the drums on Rock Band.
I never had like the set. I never had Rock Band. I had Guitar Hero 4, which is the one where you could be in a band.
Yeah.
And I only had my guitar, so I would just be guitar or bass. We had like one friend with the drum kit. It was like, okay, you're on the drums always.
See, Alex used to have the drums, so at his parents' house. So I would go there and play it. But I think I had another friend. It's like a friend of a friend who had the full set. But I think we only went around there a couple times. But I was always like, can I be drums? And then there was one time where they were like, oh, it's your turn to sing. And they put me on like Rage Against the Machine, which I'm like... I learned to sing by being in a choir. I don't have that sort of like... Says me just like, I won't do what you tell me. I'm like, I'm not made for this song. I'm a people pleaser. I'll do whatever.
Oh my gosh.
I saw this TikTok the other day that was like, a people pleaser, if they realize that they can stand up for themselves. And it was just this lady being like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think I can make it because I don't want to go. I was just like, oh, this is so freeing.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm on eBay now looking for a drum kit for my Wii. And they're all broken. They're all parts only.
Can you buy enough that you could put one together?
Oh, my
like
God.
A Frankenstein
true.
One.
Oh, my God. There's one on here that... they're meant to be like black with the colours on, right?
And yeah.
There's a couple of like the symbols on here and they're like grey? Brown?
Oh.
Like, what happened to these?
I was on eBay earlier and I didn't realise that the way that the make an offer works, they obviously have a set amount that they're like, I won't go below this.
Yeah.
And I made an offer and I was like, I had to go through and like set up payment and put in my address and all this stuff. And I was like, send. And immediately it's like rejected. And I was like, oh, I thought they would have to like take a look, consider it, get back to me. Let me know. But no,
maybe
just
they were
immediately
just sitting there waiting for offers.
Yeah.
Like that.
I just like to reject people.
Oh, dear. I usually use the offers to be a pain in the ass. Like there was a scrungly Pikachu on there and the guy wanted a stupid amount of money for it. And I was just like, you're silly for wanting that much. So I would just keep sending the same offer.
Oh my gosh.
Give me I'm Pikachu. A horrible person. I was like, just give him to me. Or I'd knock it down by a pound just to be extra annoying.
Yeah. Small victories.
And then I run out of offers or so. I'll come back next week.
I'll sign up with a new account.
Well, we have been talking for a whole hour.
We have. It's time to go back to sleep so we can record more dreams.
Nice. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Lovely.
Lovely.
Well, thank you for a lovely chat as always.
Thank you as well. And I hope everybody enjoyed Yomp this week.
Yomp Zone.
Yomp Zone.
As a question, what would convince you to join a cult?
If you were in a hostage situation, what kind of meme would you send to alert people of your predicament?
Well, until next time, everyone, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.